Todd Lewis, do you have more on this?
Yeah, Bryce DeChambeau was frustrated when he walked out of scoring, and he said to his camp, they, being rules officials, said, I improved my lie. And from what we understand, it's on the fifth hole, and he said he's going to show them that he did not. We believe he's going to jump in the cart and go back to the fifth hole to show where the possible incident or rules infraction took place. So this is still developing, guys.
You got to love golf for this, right? Or, I mean, you can roll your eyes and still love it. I mean, it is 9:30, as Zach said over there, and the coverage continues. I think it would be over otherwise. The guide says it was supposed to be law and order like an hour ago. They're not showing any golf. There might still be some. One thing that's interesting about this situation is, and Brian made this point with me on Wednesday, how probably because the days are so long there, like 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. sunlight, they don't, as opposed to what the U.S. Open does, put half the golfers on the back nine first. They don't stagger it like that. So everybody plays 1 to 18. And so you get to whatever it was, 8 o'clock or 8:15, nobody's on five anymore. So they just go out there, and the officials and DeChambeau and his caddy and whoever else are just out there for maybe 20, 30 minutes talking it all out, trying to work out the situation. You got to love golf for this. DeChambeau is just right now coming in and out of the scorer's tent, media all around it, and they did ding him. They just changed the scoreboard. Two-stroke penalty. So he goes to five under, which is tied for fifth, after having been seven under before all of this happened. You got to love golf for it. Like, it's Watergate. One guy walking in the grass, does he stomp on the grass? Does he do something with his club that he's not allowed to do? I have not been able to follow this one that closely. But improve his lie somehow illegally? I guess you can never do that, right? In a real tournament. You do it all the time. I know it. I've seen you play golf. You do it all the time. Just, you know, just tap the ball ever so slightly. Maybe there's a tiny divot. Maybe there's a speck of dirt. Just, you know, make sure it's fluffed up. I mean, you've got security. You've got fans roped off. There's the officials with walkie-talkies. And it's like somebody just broke into something, trying to figure out whether DeChambeau deserves a two-stroke penalty. Well, he got one. So definitely a topic for Brian, who will know all about the situation and what the rules are and how they were enforced here. This is maybe one of those where you or I are watching the broadcast and notice it. And who are you supposed to know to call when you do that? How does this happen where the people that have this, the players that have this happen to them, when somebody watching the Open calls in, like if that's you, who are you calling? Brian? Maybe Brian would be my call. Maybe Brian would know the number to, like, the Golf Channel or something. Like, who is it? Is it still even a phone call? Is it? Maybe, can you go online? If the whole thing had been, maybe it did, played out on Twitter or something, then perhaps that's enough for it to gain visibility and tournament officials find out that there's all this enthusiasm for whether a rule was broken. Also, you have... Now DeChambeau just comes out and they want an interview and he says no. I don't think DeChambeau is doing interviews anyway. They were talking about that on the broadcast today, that instead, maybe not every round, but instead of going to the interview room, which of course today they would want him to do, he goes to his YouTube channel and talks about his round on his YouTube channel. So maybe they'll try to make him after this one, but I don't think they can. So we'll see if he talks. But yeah, I don't know who to call. If I see something, I probably won't even notice it, but if I did, who would I call? Would I call Brian? Would I call, like, a local news station? I wouldn't know how to call the Royal... Well, maybe that's something you could figure out how to do. Call Royal Birkdale. Yes, hi. Big fan. Just wanted to point out something I saw. Is there somebody, like, there who is working for that purpose? Is somebody's job at any of these places, Golf Channel, the golf course itself, is it their job to field calls from viewers who think they've seen something illegal? Anyway, interesting. Golf is unique for this. Can you think of anything like it in another sport where the game is over, the round is complete, it's all over, and then somehow out here we can influence? No, I can't think of anything like it in another sport. I'm actually sort of racking my brain trying to come up with comparisons, and I thought of the Pine Tar game. Has the show ever sounded older than a reference to the Pine Tar game? 1981? Early 80s, Royals-Yankees, George Brett hits the winning homer off the, maybe Gossage, maybe not, off the Yankees to sort of win the game for the Royals, and Billy Martin, the Yankee manager, comes out after Brett has rounded the bases and they're celebrating. Tim McClellan is the umpire, the home plate umpire, and Martin wants to get Brett on the pine tar. So they go and get his bat, and everybody kind of looks like they have no idea what's happening. They go and get his bat. They lay it on the field in front of home plate to measure it, because they would know how, I don't know the number, how many inches across home plate is, and maybe the pine tar went past the edge of home plate or something, so they knew it was illegal. Kind of a cockamamie rule, but it's a rule. So they call Brett out. You've seen the tirade. He just storms out of the dugout, arms flailing, gets right in McClellan's face. You have a whole big scene, and that might have been the last out. Like that, two outs in the ninth, that might have been the last out of the game. So then there's a whole process where the Royals file an appeal, maybe it would be, and they win. And the home run is overturned. So it's a school day, as I remember it, the day that they resume the game between the Royals and the Yankees, the bottom of the ninth with Kansas City in the lead. And no, I think maybe they had to get, no, of course, because the home run, the Yankees still had to get the third out. And Martin put players at all different weird positions. Like, he was just sort of totally and still in a protest mood about it, resentful that they had to go back and finish this. So one afternoon, they go back. It's now maybe 5-4 Kansas City, two outs, top of the ninth. The Yankees get the third out. And I think this would have been before the third out, too. Martin has the pitcher appeal to every base, challenging that Brett didn't step on the bases. And I think he was basically like, well, how do you know if he did or didn't? I mean, it was months ago. So that was a charade. And Yankees go down and lose Pine Tar. Uncle Mike with the Pine Tar story today. Hopefully most of it was accurate, just from memory. 803-0550 for your calls. Confirmation of a new alternate Bills uniform today from Bills and Sabres boss Pete Guelli. That's been all the speculation for a long time, if not like the knowledge that there would be another Bills uniform, one we haven't seen before. The one that people that I follow that are really into uniform stuff all seem to think is the one is gray. Jersey and pants, gray, with blue numbers maybe or white numbers. And that's a tough one. We'll see. I'm not always like a curmudgeon when it comes to uniforms. In fact, I think in sports, knock yourself out. Wear different uniforms all the time. Be like Baylor. Wear a different Oregon, different uniform every week. You know, it's different and interesting. And I'm not, as much as I like a team like, say, the Canadiens, who have had the same uniform for like a century, mostly, as much as I can appreciate that, I also think, you know, it's kind of fun for fans, and it's not that I'm here for this reason, but for teams to make a little money, like new stuff. I mean, I think they can get pretty ugly. That's just, you know, simple taste, right? So I'm not sure I'm going to dig all gray, but I did like the white ones last year, the Winter Soldier look by the Bills. I went to that game and I thought that was pretty hot or cold, but it was also it's not winter yet when they wore that. It was like week 4, week 5 against New England. I like that uniform. I'm not sure. Detroit has an all gray uniform you've seen them wear maybe on Thanksgiving. And to me, like, sure, it's perfectly conceivable that the Lions could have an interesting and cool alternate uniform. All gray for me, isn't it? let's hope we don't get our wires crossed and both teams wear all gray on that opener, that home opener against the Lions. I'm pretty sure that won't happen, but we'll see how it goes over when it comes out. And I have no idea what to expect on a Sabres one. Hopefully not all gray. If it's not too soon, or if not too late to weigh in. So that was made official today. If you want to talk about the Bills or the Sabres, I am here for it. I've been doing a lot of it this week without Bulldog here, and I would be even if he were here, of course. That'll be next week. Connor Hellebuyck is a big topic. Are you open to it? Have you changed your mind on it? Do you think it's impossible or unrealistic or just what at this point? And with the Bills, the overall vibes, the DJ Moore acquisition, and lots of other topics have come up, including this uniform stuff today, over the course of the week. 803-0550. If you want in, this is Mike Shope. Back after this timeout here on WGR.